Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David! My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. These are our sacred stories. Thanks be to God.
The mother in this passage, this desperate mother who is willing to face down insults and humiliation to help her child, this mother reminds me of other mothers. I belong to a Facebook group called We Are the Mothers He Summoned. 14,800 of us are gathered in this virtual space. As the creators state, we are moms from all walks of life, religious backgrounds, political affiliations, races, and creeds, saying, "Enough is enough." In response to George Floyd calling out for his mom, our goal is to respond to the call by raising a collective voice and standing against and vocally calling out racism and its systemic oppression that has caused years of oppression and trauma for people of color. We welcome our white allies and create space for racial healing and unity. We will use our collective influence to expand equity for all. I'm part of another group called Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. This is a nonpartisan movement of Americans demanding reasonable solutions to address our nation's culture of gun violence. In Jesus' time, this mother cries out for her daughter. She doesn't have groups of other moms to support her. She doesn't seem to have community at all. When she tries to connect herself to Jesus' community, Jesus' prejudice gets in the way of his welcome. Jesus ignores her cries at first. As we read, "Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon.' But Jesus did not answer her at all." But this woman, this mother, she won't give up. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting out after us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus is changed. Jesus' own sense of God's kingdom is challenged, stretched, and enhanced by his encounter with this fierce and faithful mother. Jesus was callous and cruel, and he plainly revealed his prejudice to this Canaanite mother. We don't know her name. Jesus names her dog. The gospel writer names her Canaanite. By the time of Jesus, people were no longer called Canaanites. The name was no longer on any map. The gospel writer of Matthew chooses Canaanite on purpose. This moniker is an insult. It's used to identify her as other, as a culturally approved enemy, as one of a group not to be trusted. We are familiar with these kind of dog whistles used by racists to denigrate a whole people. Jesus's prejudice is not of a moment. This is the prejudice of a lifetime, the prejudice of many generations, the prejudice of an entire culture, the kind that seeps into our bones and is there whether we acknowledge it or not. This kind of prejudice has Jesus calling a woman a dog. The same Jesus who has welcomed outcasts and sinners, who has looked with compassion on crowd after crowd, who's healed and fed and taught. He begins by offering this woman nothing, silence, and then insults. This is the prejudice that creeps up when you least expect it. This is the hate and prejudice of doors locked as soon as a black man walks in front of a car. This is the hate and prejudice of people shouting that brown-skinned children coming across the border are dirty and carry disease. This is unchecked bias and ignorance. "Listen and understand," Jesus says. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. When Jesus meets the Canaanite woman, his heart speaks. It speaks through his mouth, and his prejudice is out in the open. "I came for the sheep of Israel, not for the dogs." And out in the open, uncovered, it can be changed. Jesus can be changed, and he is. The Canaanite woman only, we will not join in this name calling. This woman, whom we will not call the Canaanite woman, reducing her to less than human. This woman, who was a Greek-speaking Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, this brave mother is undaunted. The life of her daughter is at stake. She picks up Jesus' words and she throws them right back at him. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." When Jesus hears this, he says, "Woman, great is your faith." But she simply spoke the truth. The children had been fed. Just before today's lection, we find the story of the feeding of 5,000 men besides women and children. The children have been fed, 5,000 and more, with 5 loaves. 5, evoking Moses. The 5 books of Moses, the Pentateuch, and with 12 baskets of leftovers, 12 baskets for the 12 tribes of Israel. But surely, this woman seems to say, surely the feeding doesn't stop there. Surely there's enough, she cries, enough for me and my daughter, enough for everyone. And Jesus, the woman found an opportunity for her daughter to be healed, and in the woman, Jesus found an opportunity to be healed of his own prejudice, his racist attitudes, his arrogance and cruelty. Jesus was converted that day to a larger vision of the realm of God. Jesus saw and heard a fuller revelation of God in the voice and in the face of this brave woman. Jesus' transformation is revealed in just a few verses when there is another feeding story. We read, "Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for the crowd, because they've been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way.' And the disciples said to him, 'Where are we to get enough bread in the desert to feed so great a crowd?' And Jesus asked them, 'How many loaves have you?' And they said, 7, and a few small fish. Then ordering the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all of them ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Those who had eaten were 4,000 men, besides women and children." This story of feeding a multitude just a few verses after Jesus' encounter with the brave woman is almost identical to the previous feeding story, the one that happens just a few verses before Jesus' encounter. The difference is in the math. 7 loaves of bread and a few fish feed 4,000, not counting women and children. And when they've eaten their fill, there are 7 baskets of leftovers. The number 4 suggests the four corners of the earth. It was a symbolically Gentile number in biblical times. Likewise, 7 was the number of wholeness, completeness, a number encompassing the nation. It evokes the 7 days of creation in which God created all of humanity, all the world, complete. Matthew, the gospel writer of Matthew, has surrounded the story of Jesus and this brave woman with feeding stories. One with 12 baskets of leftovers, 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel, and the other, after Jesus' prejudices are exposed and turned to compassion, the other with 7 baskets of leftovers, 7 for all the nations. A loud, persistent, capable woman convinces Jesus that she and her daughter deserve to be welcomed to the table. And after this encounter, Jesus goes on to feed those who had not yet been fed, expanding his compassion and his welcome. Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. People's hearts are speaking in the legislature, on city streets and radio stations, and press briefings and on social media. We're hearing fear and hate pour from mouths and cell phones and Twitter accounts. This courageous woman bravely challenges the prejudice pouring from Jesus' mouth, from his heart. She confronts him with his own hypocrisy, much as Jesus has done for the religious leaders over and over. The real miracle in these stories may just be that Jesus listens. He sees his prejudice and exclusion, his unchecked bias, and he changes. We don't know, but I imagine that this is not the only time Jesus must face his prejudice and choose to listen and learn, choose to change. I certainly know that my efforts to be an anti-racist are ongoing day-by-day efforts. Jesus' transformation from exclusion to welcome, however many experiences it may have taken, is illuminated in the ending of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus tells the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Go into all nations, all, every. The wounds of injustice are deep and real. And we cannot pretend that slave and master did not exist. We cannot pretend that LGBTQ+ people have not been shamed, murdered, abused. We cannot pretend that there were no Jim Crow laws. This is not simple. This is not easy. Jesus points us to the heart. It's from the heart that what defiles comes. It's from the heart that the mouth speaks. Jesus listens and has a change of heart, and so can we. We must. How do we make use of justified anger with injustice, anger that moves us toward action, even while we acknowledge the prejudice and the bias and the hatred in our own hearts? And once we've acknowledged this generational, deep-seated, ingrained hatred, what do we do with it? It's tempting, isn't it, to ignore it, to stuff it, to pretend that it's not there. But the way through this is not through remaining unconscious. The way through this is to force ourselves to see more clearly, to see the pain, the anger, the bigotry, the hatred, the fear in our own hearts, to see it, and like Jesus, to change it, to change our hearts, and then to speak from our changed hearts. Our hearts of compassion, our hearts of justice, our anti-racist hearts, our mother hearts. Meister Eckhart wrote, oh, so long ago, he wrote, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. We are the mothers, all of us. We are the mothers of God. God made incarnate in Jesus who learns and grows and changes, Jesus who listens and is transformed. The mothers of God, God made incarnate in George Floyd who called for each one of us, begging us to listen and to change the systems and the hatred. We are the mothers of God. God made known in each time and each place, God coming again and again to widen our vision, to broaden the kingdom, to welcome and love and include. We must listen and change. We cannot allow prejudice to stand. We must cry out and maintain a fierce faith that will confront any challenges for the protection of our children. We must do this for our children, all of the children are our children. We are the mothers. We have been summoned. We must be indignant about the injustices in our world, and we must, like the mothers we are, we must fight for our children all our children. And mamas, we've got work to do. We've got love to share and changes to make, presence and persistence to offer. Amen.